Well, greetings on this day in time as we dive into chapter 22 of My Soul Waits by Marva Dawn. And the chapter title is Lest We Forget That We Are Special. And this comes from Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18, verses that are chock full of life. And the words are this: For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Well, Marva writes that a lack of personal confidence especially afflicts those who are lonely. If we have been rejected, or we feel as though we have never been accepted, or we have lost the loved one who constantly affirmed us, we can't convince ourselves that we really are unique human beings with much to offer the world around us. We need texts like Psalm 139 to tell us objectively why we are so special. You see, our importance is not determined by our own efforts. Our Creator made us special because He is. I'm going to say that again. Our importance is not determined by our own efforts. Our Creator made us special because He is. So theoretically, we who know that should have no problem with our self-identity. But unfortunately, often our faith doesn't penetrate to our unfavorable feelings about ourselves or even others. In the struggle to like ourselves, we need again and again to listen to the Scriptures, especially texts such as the promise in Romans 8 that nothing can separate us from God's love, or these verses from Psalm 139, which show us how that love was at work in creating us exclusively. And I love this line on page 175. Unless we trust the designer, we can't rejoice fully in the wonder of His designs. Unless we trust the designer, we can't rejoice fully in the wonder of His designs. The setting of the words of encouragement at the beginning of this chapter is a wisdom psalm. And it talks about God being present everywhere, all-knowing, all-powerful, and perfect in His evaluations. The mood of the psalm is one of wonder that the poet can be in a relationship with this God who is so all about everything. That relationship is the foundation for our worth and significance. It's God who gives us that value. It's God who gives us that love. The relationship from God to us, that is the foundation of our worth and significance. So the very first line of this section of the psalm underscores our specialness. The Hebrew text says graphically, "For you created my kidneys, my inmost parts." The Jerusalem Bible uses the phrase inmost self. Another translates the word as my inmost being. A contemporary paraphrase might be the true me. You knit together the true me. Psalm 139:13 offers this great comfort. When our loneliness is intensified because no one seems to know our deepest emotions, God understands every facet of them. After all, God put us together. Indeed, we are known by God intimately. When God originated our complex personhood, He designed us with special kidneys, this special affectional attribute that compromises our sensitivities, our emotions, the seat of the soul. God's plan is good, for God is good. And the truth of his declaration that the creation is good sets us free to accept our uniqueness too. Yes, you are uniquely and wonderfully made. Now, the second picture of our text from Psalm 139 is equally compelling. For its verb, wove, implies great care and craftsmanship. The poetic parallel asserts, you wove me together in the womb of my mother. God didn't just throw us together. God carefully chose all the threads and colors and then fashioned them together in the beautiful patterns that compose you and me. No two tapestries are ever alike. So we see personal tenderness and love in the crafting. The Lord uniquely chose for each of us the perfect combination of the color of hair and eyes and skin, the kinds of intelligence, the various aspects of personality and gifts, the abilities and the strengths. This wove image reminds me of a t-shirt blanket that Susan had made for me. You know how you collect old t-shirts over time and then you cut off the logos or the images from some of them and you can make it yourself. We shipped ours off to somebody else and they put this unique pattern together that in essence tells some of my story, some of my life beginnings and endings, fits of stops and starts, all kinds of different stories. But in looking at the blanket, you realize how uniquely and wonderfully it is that you are made, and that no one exactly lives that exact same story. God is there in weaving you together. Well, the poet responds to this splendid creation by vowing, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The Hebrew verb to praise is often used ritually to signify formal worship. But it's also used throughout the Psalms to declare personal thanks or a sense of adoration. Fearfully comes from a verb that describes excellent and glorious things that are so awe-inspiring because they cause astonishment. Truly, we are amazed by the marvel of our creation, not with the fear of terror, but with the fear of reverence and with honor. So this other word, wonderfully, fearfully and wonderfully. Wonderfully stresses the accomplishment of something that surpasses everything or is simply extraordinary. In other places, its verb root signifies that which is beyond a person's power to understand. The word comes from the root for wonder. The extraordinariness of our fabrication is vastly beyond our comprehension. How can we ever begin to comprehend the way that God creates? Well, we become more aware of the magnificence of human creation when we see how one's organs malfunctioning has so many adverse effects on other parts of the body. And Marva talks about her own body and the failure of her organs in keeping her going from a young age, and how she's had to navigate that. She says, the failure of my pancreas in my teen years made it impossible for me to gain weight, to metabolize food effectively, to develop properly. Now the intricacies of balancing immunosuppressants and insulin with blood sugar and activity affect her gum tissues and her jaw bones, her vision, her susceptibility to cancer and illnesses, and the speed of healing. The sensitivity of the fine nervous system, the ability of her body to increase blood pressure, to handle energy needs, and on and on. How could these interconnections have happened by accident? Fearfully and wonderfully made. When we think about the heavens and the stars, billions of galaxy with billions of stars within each galaxy, such a vastness of creation, and yet our bodies too are made up of stardust, showing that we are interconnected deeply to every piece and part of all that God creates. each piece helps the rest. And such facts boggle the mind and make us wonder how anyone could doubt God's hand in forming the right molecules for our existence. Well, the poet seems to recognize the danger of skepticism, for he continues, "Your works are wonderful. I know that full well," as if he were reminding himself not to take the glory of it for granted. He asserts, "Yes, Lord, I am amazed by your works. I really do recognize how magnificent they are." The word wonderful echoes wonderfully made. So once again, we are reminded that God's handiwork vastly exceeds our ability to comprehend. Yet we can know exceedingly well that God is the performer of these works. The verb to know is in a form that pictures a state of being, the constant action of knowing. We just can't forget how wondrous his works are once we get to know them and get to know God himself. The final word in the Hebrew text of this verse is one that is often translated exceedingly or full well. It comes from a root meaning to surround, and it implies a great abundance. This is the same word used in the last verse of Genesis 1, where God looks at all that God has made, including humankind, which was created on that final day, and declares not merely that it was good, as he had said on the previous 5 days, but that it was exceedingly good. In response, then, this poet of this psalm knows exceedingly. The works of the Lord are superb, amazing, incredible, phenomenal. Now, some challenge here in our mind's thought. Next, the poet rejoices that when he was created in the secret place, again referring to the mother's womb, his frame of bones was not hidden from the Lord. Yahweh saw, in fact, the embryo, the unformed substance. This statement is seen by the pro-life movement as a good argument from a Christian and Jewish perspective against abortion. If indeed God is part of the whole process of creating life and putting together the embryo, then there's the implication that to cut it off is to end that life before it can be completed. Of course, the poet here was not addressing the issue of abortion. Nevertheless, his rejoicing over God's knowledge and action in the process of human development must cause us to think more thoroughly about the subject. It urges us to be formed by this text to care about all life as God does. And this will cause us to work to make sure that all children who are born have adequate food and provision, that the ghetto conditions which give rise to numerous abortions, that those things are no more, and that violence against life in all its forms is resisted and combated. There's so much here. How are we valuing life, creating life, sustaining life, unleashing life for the sake of all? Now next, and toward the end here, the poet exalts that in the Lord's book, all of his days were preordained and they were written down before any one of them yet existed. We must here keep this critical concept clear of distortions. Our lives are not pre-fated so that we have no choice in them at all. That misconception is precluded by the tense of the verb, which is to write down, which here signifies an uncompleted action. God is writing them, but we have a chance to choose what he writes. So nevertheless, they are preordained. This verb is in the perfect, completed action tense and in the intensive passive form of a root that stresses forming or ongoing fashioning. This particular form of the verb stresses that God's purpose is to establish the days in a certain way. And when we put those two concepts together carefully, we can better understand their paradox. God's basic plan for our lives is set in the unique combination of our gifts and personalities. But we have enormous freedom in choosing how to live out that creation. If we choose to serve God according to God's designs, we will experience God's best. Yet we have the free will not to choose God's way, and then because God loves us so much, God will forgive our rebellions. God is even able to bring good out of our worst choices. We won't have God's best if we follow our own will, but God can turn whatever we choose into good for us. Ooh, there is so much here today, church, and I hope you can listen and re-listen and jot down and mark up these pages of the psalm. There's powerful imagery here for us. Now, the dialectical tension between God's sovereignty and our free will sets us free from any fatalistic notions about our lives. Yet it gives us the sweet comfort that God really does care and can do something about everything that concerns us. This is where we think about purpose, our passion. What are we created for? What joy do we find when we live out the Lord's design for our lives? When we use our gifts and skills to serve God, especially because God doesn't force us to choose that. If we are obedient to God's creation designs, we are going to find deep fulfillment. That is a promise. And I think that's why the poet continues by declaring how precious God's thoughts have become to him. He realizes how vast is the sum of them. Altogether, God's thoughts are precious. And each is precious because it is best. God's design and purposes become the deepest desires of our hearts. They are valuable to us because we want to be right there in the middle of them. Now, the final picture in this section is one of Marva's favorites in the scriptures, especially because of its humor. The poet comments, "Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand." And then suddenly he adds, "When I awake, I am still with you." That is a terrific way to handle insomnia, Marva writes. The poet became so involved in counting all the thoughts of God that he fell asleep. This final line also offers vast comfort. When I awake, I am still with you. We can never fall out of God's thought and care, even though we fall asleep. The Lord never will. We are again and again, repeatedly, furthermore, besides, yet still, moreover, enfolded in his mind and heart. As Jesus promises, no one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. See John 10, verse 29. We don't really know very many of the thoughts of Yahweh, but this one we know for sure. God will always love and care for us. Nothing can separate us from God's love, not even our falling asleep when we count his graciousness. Truly, this picture of ourselves, marvelously designed, made with his tender care, should fill us with dignity and self-worth. We don't have to win God's approval. We had it even before we were born. We don't have to prove our worth. God wove it together. We don't have to impress God with our goodness. God just wants us to show us his. And with that, I leave you with these questions to meditate on. How does it make me feel to know that God really knows my inmost being? 2, how does it make me feel to think about God weaving me together? 3, what parts of the human creation most fill you with wonder? 4, how does it make you feel to think that God has ordained all your days? And how can you reconcile that paradox with your free will? 5, what perspectives do biblical passages give us on various life issues debated by our society? Abortion, euthanasia, capital punishment, disproportionate spending for war, the use of landmines, U.S. sales of military equipment to 2/3 world countries, and on and on. And lastly, why does it comfort you to know that when you fall asleep over trying to count God's goodness, that God is still with you? a lot to think about and to consider. Prayers with you as you reach out, connect, love, and serve. And share these words of this Psalm 139. God created your inmost being. It's God who's knit you together. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Until next time, be safe and be well.